What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
July has got a lot of in and out to it, meaning I'm here and then you're gone, but I'm here. Or I take a vacation and you're listening and can't figure out where I am. It's kind of fun. It's a little bit of a cat and mouse game, if you will. Nah, it's just vacations in summertime. And if you've been paying attention to the Weather Channel or weather forecast, any network that you choose, I'm a total weather geek. Love to talk about the weather, look at different weather patterns. I don't know why, because I'm a nerd, I guess. But the record high temperatures across many parts of the United States will continue on into this week. And we're talking about early July here, not dead of August, where a lot of times the heat builds. But according to the National Weather Service in Las Vegas, they've got all-time record high temperatures in many areas around Vegas, like Death Valley, California. Tied the all-time high, 129 degrees on Sunday. What? That's an oven. 129 degrees. And I get that it's a dry heat. It's not like other parts of the country where that heat comes with thick, thick humidity, like Houston, for instance. But 129 degrees? There's a reason why it's called Death Valley. Who can live in that? What can possibly live in that? Las Vegas setting a record. 120 degrees on Sunday. Now, they do have to confirm this, but they're saying it's a preliminary record. Kingman, Arizona. 112 degrees. This is Fahrenheit, by the way. Duh. On Sunday. Barstow, Daggett, California, 118 degrees. And then Bishop, California, 111 degrees on Sunday. That's gross. It was 82 degrees in Binghamton, New York, and I thought that was hot. I was wearing my sun hat, actually my bucket hat that protects my face and keeps the sun off my face. And walking around outside for three, four hours, and I did wear sunscreen, but I still ended up with some pink shoulders. I thought that was hot. When I was in Houston last week, my mom and her husband, and I think it's partly because the AC, if you turn it way down, your bill could be $500 a month if you have a house that's more than, say, 500 square feet. And so I know it's hard to keep the house cool, but I do not sleep well when it's warm and got the fan blasting and the AC set on 75. For many people, that's cool. That's not cool for me. For me, that's still warm. I know I'm weird, but it was a challenge to sleep at times. My mom, forget the sleeping part, even just walking around the house during the daytime, my mom turns it up to 77 and it feels like you're outside. I know. Thank you, Ryan. Ryan just made a face looking the other direction. 77 is not cool. No. it's, like I said, you might as well be outside. But what you do get inside is that there's no humidity, at least with the AC on. So again, I understand it. In places like this, your AC would be going nonstop, which might be as much as a mortgage payment in some cases. So I understand why, but I said numerous times while we were in Houston, I do not know how people can live in this year round. It's brutal. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you're waking up on your Monday, good morning to you. It's the start of a new week. It's the start of, gosh, another week in July in which we'll have people in and out, of course, but also the record heat that we're watching and, of course, Hurricane Beryl, which is an early hurricane in this 2024 season. It had been downgraded to a tropical storm, but has gained strength, and the last I knew was still a hurricane and was also, well, already outer bands were hitting parts of Texas and drenching my mom's house in Northwest Houston. So there's already been a bunch of rain. They had even hail in some parts, the heavy winds, of course, and it hasn't even made landfall yet, though it's getting close. Obviously, in the summertime, people do a lot of traveling. For those of you who traveled over the weekend, not only was it holiday traffic, but Bob and I were coming back from Houston, and our flight was delayed an hour, not because of anything wrong with our flight or because of weather at the time, but because this is what happens when there's severe weather in other parts of the country. Planes get backed up. Planes don't arrive or take off on time. And so it's like going to the doctor's office, where if you have an appointment later in the day, you might as well show up 20 minutes late, because one patient that takes an extra 10 minutes with the doctor and boom, 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 everything else gets backed up as well. And so that's what was happening in Houston. And so I do appreciate that many of you are, forget the travel part of it, you're just concerned about this particular hurricane coming your way. So please be safe. Don't take any crazy chances. Like I said, my mom is supposed to fly on Tuesday. They're not sure whether or not their flight will get out. We're praying that the flights are still running on Tuesday, that the storm does not make a direct hit to the Houston Metro, which is, you know, one of the top five cities in the country in terms of its population. So thinking about that major metro and just the number of people that are potentially in the path of this storm. So that's one thing that we're thinking about today. Also, the heat across the United States in many places, including the Northeast, about to have another heat wave, which means there are a lot of older people, people that don't necessarily have air condition. And I know the heat can be just overwhelming at times. So please check on your elderly friends and family members and make sure they're okay, so they're not sitting inside a home that does not have AC with all their windows closed. I don't know why older people do that, but I know a lot of them, it takes a lot for them to get hot, so they may not realize how hot it is inside. Please be careful of your pets. Actually, I was coming out of the airport on Wednesday. We arrived in Houston, and I had one of those moments. I'm not sure this has ever happened to you, but we walk out of the airport. My mom's husband is waiting for us, you know, to pick us up in this visitor's lot. And we walk past a car that has all the windows rolled up and a dog inside. And again, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I got this, oh no, reaction and got just a major chill. And like, I felt my heart rate go up because I was worried that that dog was locked in that car with all the windows rolled up. Now, as we got closer, the car was running. And so thankfully, I've done that before. I once had to go to a dentist appointment and did not have time to take my dog to a friend's house because I was running late and had to leave her outside in the car for an hour. And it was 100 degrees and I just left the car running. I mean, I had two keys. So I left the car running. The dog was inside. I went out multiple times. The dentist was running late to check on her, make sure she was okay. But yeah, I had to do that one time for Penny. Anyway, I was so relieved when I realized that the dog was in an air-conditioned vehicle. But I mean, it's one of those moments where you think, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Just fleeting. If I have to break that car window, I will, to get that dog out of there. But thankfully, the owner had done right by the puppy. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Just there's a lot of heat, and it can really stress people out. And it, yeah, it's smart to check on people that you care about in this heat, because it will claim lives just people who are not used to it or don't really know how to handle it or maybe overexert themselves. So that's one thing that's been happening over the past few days. But also, this is something that I have to tell you. You're not going to believe me when I tell you. But friends of ours upgraded us to first class on our flights to and from Houston as a gift. Not a regular thing. I can't remember the last time I flew first class. I think when I was in my 20s, there was a flight that had a bunch of people that were going standby just because there had been some delays earlier in the day. And I got stuck in first class. Wasn't supposed to be there, but that was the last seat they had on the plane. So they put me in first class. It's not a regular thing. I often say if I was independently wealthy, first class would be what I would spend my money on, but I'm not. And I choose not to spend money on first class. It's out of my budget, out of our budget. Anyway, some friends upgraded us to first class. We felt like squatters. What are we doing up here? We do not belong up here. The food in first class. Is this what happens when you travel first class? You get these incredible meals. They're hot. They're delicious. It's a full meal. We got a full breakfast on Wednesday morning. We got a full dinner on Saturday evening when we were flying home. Oh my gosh. I would think that the food alone, if you're someone who can afford it, the food alone is a reason to upgrade to first class.
The fact you said warm or hot, that's the big thing.
And good food. Really good food and options. You have, I don't know, 6 or 7 different options that you can choose from. So my husband and I had different meals, both to and from Houston. Again, an aberration, gift from friends, not going to happen again. But also, there's room to spread out. You don't have to worry whether or not your carry-on will fit in the overhead bin because the bins are oversized in first class. And there's just space. No one's sitting on top of you. No one's taking your armrest. Oh, it's just, it's glorious. But we felt like squatters, like we did not belong there. We were taking up residence in someone else's home that just happened to be vacated for a time, which I would never do, by the way. I would never do. Anyway, first class was quite a treat. But the big treat for the July 4th weekend was actually our activity on Sunday. Not that we didn't enjoy the family time. I've never been to a wedding on July 4th. I don't know how many more weddings I will attend on July 4th, but that's what we were doing in Texas over the holiday weekend. To tell you the truth, this is actually kind of funny. The wedding was about 150 people in attendance. I am going to be honest. I counted the number of women who were not wearing blue. In a room of 150 people, there were 7 women attending the wedding that were not wearing blue, including me. I was the only female I saw in purple. There were a couple in red, which I think goes along with the July 4th theme. There was one in orange, which that's my favorite. There was another lady in green. Pretty much every other woman at the wedding, outside of the 7 of us, and a couple of them I say were wearing red, which kind of fits with the holiday, all wearing blue. I was not expecting that.
Blue's a good color.
It is, but on July 4th, even more so. And I would say most women would not wear red to a wedding. Just kind of, you kind of stand out like a bull and running with the bulls in Pamplona. You just, your red pops. And so unless you're trying to be the center of attention, most women are not going to wear straight red to a wedding. It just doesn't fit much. So mostly people were in blue, every shade of blue you could possibly imagine. And actually the bride, who is now part of our family, she picked blue as her color. So yes, all the wedding party was in some shade of blue. The ties were blue, but then all the women attending the wedding, except for a handful of us, were wearing blue.
There should have been a memo then.
Right. I didn't get the memo.
But actually, you didn't match, so it's okay.
That's true. My mother-in-law was wearing blue. Most of the people at our table, we had a family table, were wearing blue. Some shade of blue. But it didn't matter. It was a great wedding. The ceremony was beautiful. It was just freaking hot. They did pictures outside for about 10 minutes. It's 100-plus degrees. And they came inside looking like they just, some of them were drenched, as you can imagine. And the men, long-sleeve shirts.
And jacket, right?
No jacket.
No jacket.
Thankfully, they did not have to wear jackets. But, I mean, the groom wore a jacket. And the bride had a dress that was strapless and off-shoulder, but still have, you know, satin. So it was kind of heavier to carry. Anyway, they managed to get through pictures, and then the rest was inside, which was neat. Food was barbecue. Always delicious. Brisket and turkey was really good. Anyway, that was what we were doing in Texas. We got back on Saturday night. Even though our flight was delayed, we were not in bed until well after 1 o'clock in the morning, but we had tickets the next day, Sunday, for the Birmingham, New York. So it's actually Johnson City, but near Birmingham, New York, for those of you who live in the area, it's an air show that they hold every year at their airport. And we bought tickets to attend because the Blue Angels were performing. You guys, this has been on my bucket list for I don't know how long. I said to my husband when we were walking out, how did I live so many decades of my life and never see the Blue Angels before now? It was amazing. And the tickets were $20 each. $20! And you got to see a world-class performance. And we were standing. You can just wander around at the airport. I dare say this is how it is for most air shows. You just kind of wander. It's like a golf tournament. You go wherever you want to go. We were able to stand right at the end of the runway, and the flight path was directly in front of us. And the Blue Angels are notorious for flying low so that fans can get a really good look. They're also notorious for their diamond formation and some other seemingly incredibly dangerous stunts that they pull. Now for them, they've practiced. I've seen the documentary. They're flying 3 times a day when they're preparing for their summer season. And so they're the best pilots the Navy has to offer. Awesome. Probably not dangerous to them. Well, still dangerous flying at that speed. A couple of times, so you have the four pilots that are in the diamond, the four planes that are in the diamond, and you've got two other pilots that are kind of doing their own thing, sometimes together, sometimes separately. At one point, they were flying directly at each other in a high-speed game of chicken, or at least that's what it looked like, 800 miles per hour. 800 miles per hour. So it was amazing the type of stunts they do, the roles where all four of them are doing a 360 roll together in formation, or the one diamond where two of the pilots are right side up and two of the pilots are upside down. The four of them in a diamond formation, they're flying across the sky at 400 miles per hour and two of them are upside down, but right on top of the two pilots who are flying right side up. It's a little bit like Top Gun, which, by the way, they played music off of the Top Gun soundtrack. It was amazing, Ryan.
I just still can't believe on that point that Tom Cruise actually learned how to fly a fighter jet to do those stunts.
Right.
So just him doing that type of scene where he's upside down going 400 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That doesn't sit right with me, how he's mentally capable of doing that.
Yeah, it definitely takes some mental focus and the type of nerves of steel that many people do not have. Again, they practice over and over again. But of course, you're still flying a plane and you're still going, in some cases, most cases, they were going at least 400 miles per hour, between 350 and 400. Can I tell you, this is a spoiler alert. If you've never seen the Blue Angels, they pull this stunt that fans don't know is coming. And in fact, they distract you by calling for a formation of the pilots 1 through 4. Okay, so 1 through 4, and you can see the numbers on their tails. Pilots 1 through 4 will do a fairly standard formation. And the MC, so he's the narrator for the Blue Angels. He's actually pilot number 7, or Blue Angel number 7. He is calling for your attention as the Blue Angels fly left to right. Okay, it's fairly standard. It's not one of the crazier formations that they do. And so while you're watching them fly low right in front of you across the runway, all of a sudden, another, and they kind of take off toward, they go left to right and kind of take off away from you. All of a sudden, going 800 miles per hour, it looks like he's on the ground, comes pilot number 7, just boom, and it makes so much noise because the jets are so loud. He's going probably twice as fast as the diamond that just kind of pulls away. So he flies under them, going like speed so loud that you feel it in your body. And right on the heels of that, behind you, so above and behind you, while you, again, while you're distracted by the four pilots of the Diamond, and then this one, number five, that comes blazing across the horizon from behind you, flying almost right at you, comes number six. And you don't see it coming. They don't tell you it's happening. So you get blasted by the noise of the pilot who's going right across the horizon, 800 miles per hour. And then from behind you, he dips down on top of you. So it feels, and all of a sudden you hear him. You know, the speed of sound travels obviously a little slower than the speed of light, speed of sight. And so you feel it, but you don't hear it until he's on top of you. So he dives down behind you, kind of goes straight at the runway, and then boom, flashes and goes right back up in the air again. So the noise of that, but the surprise, because you've got these two jets that are solo, but they make so much noise and it converges on you. It freaks you out. So to see the reaction, again, we had no idea this was happening. To see the reaction of the people around us, I mean, my husband and I are like, ah! Like it takes you by surprise. You kind of think something's gone wrong because the noise is so loud. But everybody around us, and we're just standing at the end of the runway, everyone starts like freaking out, like, whoa! Like just, it was amazing. And then just realizing what had happened, if they really set you up by some, you know, kind of relatively easy formation, they distracted us. So these other two pilots could just blast you with noise. It was amazing. People are laughing. They're just like jumping up and down. It was really neat to see the reaction. Have you ever seen the Blue Angels?
I have never.
Oh, gosh.
You spoiled it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they do different shows every time, but I think this is one of their standard moves. It may not be exactly like that where number six comes from behind you, but yeah, you don't even hear him coming because the sound, of course, is behind him. So by the time he gets on top of you, it's just a... Man, it's like it's a rocket. You can feel it in your body. It is pretty amazing. They also, if you've ever seen the show, they at the very end, they do a formation with all six of them. It's called their Delta formation. All six of them, and they peel. So each one in turn, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, peels around. They go across the horizon from left to right, and then as they're coming into land, they're peeling. And what we saw in the documentary, 10 G's. They pull 10 G's when they're peeling around. Can you imagine?
You could faint if you're not trained.
Well, yeah. So part of the documentary is they put the pilots into this gravity training, this kind of machine that simulates the 10 G's. And multiple times in the documentary, you see them faint, which is freaky to watch them on a camera. And they black out. So it's part of their training. But yes, they tell you that on this final peel move, each one of them is pulling 10 G's. I mean, those puppies turn on a dime. It's incredible what they can do with those planes. But still, when you think about the speed that they're going when they do this, it's apparently a workout where they're losing a ton of water weight. You know, it's because of the forces, the gravity forces, the G-forces, their body is being like jarred and shaken, and just every single muscle in your body gets a workout. It's like a full body workout. You get out of the plane and you feel like you've just gone through a full body workout. So they have to be in excellent physical shape as well.
Too much for me. It's right? Way too much.
That's not us. That's not our gift, Ryan. We're just going to talk for a living. That's what we're going to do. All right. It was amazing. And I actually got some really incredible photos. That was one of my big goals is, can I just get a few photos of the Blue Angels with my little phone doing their diamond formation, which I did. And I'm thrilled by them. So I'll share a few of those. You can find me on Twix at A-Law Radio. If any of you have seen the Blue Angels, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Also on our Facebook page, I'll try to get those photos up too before I go to bed on Monday morning. A little bit long on this segment, but thank you for listening to my story. I'm obviously very excited about it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's a first on this show. I've never used TikTok as a source for audio before, but this is what happens. Producer Jay leaves. Ryan takes over. He's super cool, and we use TikTok. Actually, I could give Ryan the credit, but I found it, so I can't really give Ryan the credit for that. I'm just going to have to own it myself. Yes, in fact, I did find Caitlin Clark audio on TikTok. There, I said it. I admitted it. I don't know what that tells you about me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I cannot wait to share a few of my Blue Angels photos with you. Something else that was really amazing, and Ryan, I don't know if you're into anything like this, flight, or whether it's military history or just any type of airplane. I'm a huge nerd about this kind of stuff. One thing that I don't think would happen anywhere else except for an air show like this, we had the chance to walk through, sit in, take photos in a C-130, the one that carries the Blue Angels and their crew everywhere they go. You know what a C-130 is? Yeah, it's a humongous, oh my gosh, it's a monster of a plane, and it's used to transport. Essentially, it's a cargo plane. It's used to transport military, their equipment. I mean, you'll see them all, not this particular plane, but you'll see them all the time in movies and TV where you've got guys jumping out the back of them, or in some cases, I mean, think of, you're talking about Tom Cruise and his MI movies. In some cases, you'll see them throw entire vehicles out the back and parachute vehicles down to the ground. SEAL Team is one of my favorite shows, so they have a lot of C-130 props in it. Anyway, this is the actual C-130. It doesn't carry the Blue Angel planes, but it takes their entire crew, and it's well over 100 people, plus all their equipment that they need. And they park it at the air show, and you're able to, they open it up, it's empty. You're able to walk through it, to sit in the seats, to take photos. It's pretty amazing. I don't know that in any other setting, because most of the time, if you're at an airport, say, and there's a C-130 there or a military base, we have no access to that, right? There's security, there's barbed wire fences. There's no way you get anywhere close to a military plane like this. But to be able to walk through it, they open it up. I mean, and here's the funnier part, too. It was hot. There was, you know, blazing sun in Birmingham. The C-130's wings are, I mean, they might as well be like entire carports, right? You could put multiple vehicles underneath the wings. There were people who showed up, and it was like first come, first serve. They have their lawn chairs and their blankets, and they're posted up underneath the shadow of the C-130. So not just the wings, but also the tail where it casts a shadow. It's crazy. This thing is enormous. And there are probably 100 people who have parked themselves in their lawn chairs underneath the wings and in the shadow of this plane so that they can get out of the sun.
It's a smart move. I respect that.
But could you imagine any other place on our entire planet where, other than an air show, where you can get that close to a C-130 and just sit next to it for as long as you want?
I went to the Intrepid once, so I was very close to the jets there.
Yes.
But I kind of ruined my expectation of flying and runways because I went on like the flight simulator thing, and my co-pilot, she was not
my
capable
co-pilot
of doing anything. So she immediately flipped us over and crashed us, and she proceeded to not want to do it anymore. So I was sitting upside down in the simulator, and it ruined the experience.
Oh, okay. So that was the end of Ryan's flight aspirations. I can imagine that was a little bit like a carnival ride, not so much like an actual flight simulator.
40 seconds from hell.
Let me out of this thing. That's not what happened at the air show, thankfully. But yeah, it was really neat to be up close and personal with some planes that flew in World War II, and they now have them as displays or, you know, as historical pieces, but also a C-130 and some of these other incredible jets. For those of you who are super nerds, an F-35B Lightning, which can hover. It's a jet, and it hovers. It hovers. It stopped after doing all of its crazy tricks, which were amazing in and of itself. It stopped over the runway and just hung there in the air. It was amazing. It's loud, but it was amazing.
Those scare me. Flight scares me. You shouldn't be this good at staying in place.
Oh, yeah. Crazy tricks they can do. Oh, my gosh. And you know, these planes cost millions and millions of dollars, too. Corey's in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, I assume. Corey, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. We have a airport. Like I'm 3 miles from our house, Arnold Palmer Airport, and they did an air show there, well, every year. And Angels there every other year.
Nice.
I've seen them so many times, and I'm not saying that to brag about how many times I've seen the Blue Angels.
Oh, you should brag. Definitely brag.
Whenever I hear people that haven't seen them, I don't realize how much I've taken for granted of seeing them. And, you know, just recently I've really been getting into, like old wars and military planes and stuff, and I get so hyped up whenever I see these things. And they're not coming by this year. I think it might be the Thunderbirds that might be coming through, but it's incredible to watch them and how close they get to the ground and how fast and loud they are.
Oh, yeah. And I love the fact that they've got not only their own unique formations, but that they do perform a lot of their different stunts / formations so low to the ground so that people can see them. My phone is, right. It's just a Galaxy S10, I think. And it got pretty impressive photos because they're that close to you. And so, yeah, it's pretty amazing how close. But, of course, there's noise. They warn you. It's really loud ahead of time.
Yeah.
But when, as they're doing these stunts and they're kind of, you know, blowing you away with entertainment value, but also the skill and the precision, it's awesome to see the reaction in the crowd at this particular air show. People are jumping up and down and yelling and screaming. Like, just, it's really, it's amazing to see the reaction, too.
That's so cool. Yeah, a few years back, we actually had a house window got blown out from them getting so low, because there's like houses real close to the airport, and they blew the windows out, and I don't know if what happened. Like, I'm not real familiar with the whole breaking the sound barrier thing. I don't know if that's how that happened, but I'm pretty sure they got told to, like, get up a little bit higher next time.
That's funny. I actually expected that. I thought at least one of these planes, because there were multiple jets that did tricks at this air show, or the Blue Angels, one of them would have a sonic boom. I kept waiting for it. But no, just super loud, like afterburners. That's the part that just kind of crazy. And because of the speed of sound, you see it before you hear it. But once you hear it and feel it, it's pretty amazing.
Right. Oh, it's so cool. I can't wait for this year.
Awesome.
Even though it won't be them, it's still fun to watch.
Yes, for sure. Well, this was a bucket list item for me, Corey, so I was excited to be there and to share it. Thank you so much
I'm
for your phone
you
call.
Got to see them.
Yeah, me
have
too.
A good night.
You too. That's awesome. To be close to, well, unless your windows get blown out, to be close to a place where you get to see them on a pretty regular basis. And even as we were driving, now we had parking on site there at the airport. I highly recommend this Greater Binghamton Air Show that they do every year. I don't know if the Blue Angels are there every year, but it was so easy. Drive in, park at, you know, at the airfield, and just get out of your car and walk. And then you can walk around all over the place, as they say, a little bit like a golf tournament where you don't have to sit in one particular spot. You just take your lawn chair and you sit. And we ended up taking our stuff back to the car and walking to the end of the runway to watch the Blue Angels, and it was completely worth it. So I highly recommend these types of things. But it was not just the Blue Angels. They had all kinds of other trick planes and stunts and different displays, planes on display that you could walk in and out of or you could touch. That was kind of cool. Helicopters, military helicopters from eras gone by. It was really cool. So the last hurrah for July 4th week. We just didn't anticipate driving the 2.5 hours to Binghamton after having, you know, gone to bed after 1 a.m. But it was totally worth it. We kept saying that. Totally worth it. This is worth it, babe. Totally worth it. So now you need to do it, especially since I showed you some of the pictures, Ryan, so you know. It's pretty amazing. They're the best pilots the Navy has to offer. So, and definitely watch the documentary too. All right, coming up, Angel Reese, she's breaking records just like Caitlin Clark. And actually, they're going to be on the same team. The WNBA All-Star team will put them as teammates wearing the same uniform for the first time in their careers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
All right, we'll get to the WNBA's dynamic rookie duo. It's a game of anything you can do, I can do better. Between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, they have different skills, but boy, do they continue to raise the bar for the rest of the league. And we'll be teammates. Actually, for the first time ever, they will play on the same roster, on the same side come All-Star, I don't know if it's a weekend or not, but WNBA All-Star festivities, they will actually be teammates together against the Olympic team, which is juicy and fun. So we'll get to that coming up. Just did my CBS, oops, not CBS anymore. There we go. I went an entire 4 days and didn't mention it. That was the subject of the Sports Minute on this Monday morning. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I was all geeked up about the Binghamton Air Show in New York, Johnson City. I might have called it Birmingham earlier. Whoopsie. Did I, Ryan?
You did once, but you made up for it. You said Binghamton
thanks.
Later.
Yeah, I was so excited I didn't even get the name of the place right. So this is Central New York, Binghamton, on the way to Syracuse. I know it well from my time going to Cuse, but also teaching the last couple years, and found out the Blue Angels would be performing there, and it was a really cool atmosphere. What you have access to, what you're able to do, just get to walk around, no restrictions, and a cheap ticket. But watch me. In saying this, they're going to decide to raise their ticket prices, but we paid $20 for a ticket and an extra $20 to park on site, and it was well worth it. So awesome way to spend Sunday seeing the Blue Angels perform for the first time. 855-212-4227. We're going to get to some Bronny James after the top of the hour. Steve Kerr talking about Klay Thompson leaving the Warriors. And then maybe a little more baseball that we can mix in. But first, Doug is in Ohio. Doug, welcome to After Hours.
Well, hi, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm good, sir.
Hey, I wanted to tell you a few things about the air shows. The jets are never allowed to exceed 700 miles an hour because that's the speed of sound. It would create a sonic boom.
Interesting, because the Blue Angel MC said that at one point the two... And we heard it clearly. My husband repeated it to me. The two planes that were flying at each other were flying at 800 miles per hour.
Well, I guess some things must have changed. I was going to mention to you, I lived in northeastern Ohio just about all my life. Mm-hmm. And we have the oldest national air show in the country since 1931.
Where's that?
And at Burke Lakefront Airport, right on the shores of Lake Erie.
Gotcha.
Right in the downtown Cleveland area.
Cool.
So it's pretty fascinating. Also, the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds, they alternate here every year. One year we had the Thunderbirds, and unfortunately, tragedy, the commander of the Thunderbird went to take off, and some birds got sucked into his air intake and it stalled the engine out, and unfortunately, he drowned in Lake Erie.
Oh my gosh.
Right off East 9th Street.
When was that?
Yeah, and just to go show how dangerous it is, about 5 months later, the Thunderbirds were practicing in Henderson, Nevada, right outside of Las Vegas, like 45 minutes away. And the one pilot, the lead pilot, he lost his bearings. And so the other five pilots followed him. They all crashed in the desert. All six were killed.
I know it is dangerous, and I know they do have tragedy in their history. At least for the Blue Angels, it's a tradition that stretches back 100-plus years. Obviously, they take their lives and they put them in, you know, the hands of not just their crews who are checking the flights before and checking the planes before they ever get into them, but also fellow pilots. So extremely dangerous, which is why it's so amazing that they make it look as effortless as they do.
Yeah, like I said, you might want to look it up. It was about 30 years ago, Amy, that the commander went down. And then, like I said, months later, six more planes went down. So they lost seven pilots in that short period of time.
Well, I appreciate the history, but also didn't realize that about the sonic boom, though I'm confident I can look it up. But I know he said they were traveling 800 miles per hour.
Okay, because I just looked it up myself. And it, you know, it said at most they do 700 miles an hour. Who knows? What's the difference, you know, as long as there's that sonic boom created, you know?
Hmm. I appreciate that, Doug. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Okay, thank you, Amy. Bye.
What's the difference? 100 miles per hour. That's it.
Losing hearing, you know, a bunch of injuries possibly.
Saying extra 100 miles per hour in a plane as they're flying directly at each other. Like I said, I'm pretty sure we did not mishear it because he repeated it twice and it was pretty clear what he said. They were traveling 800 miles per hour. Now, that wasn't the norm. More often they were at 350, 400, 450, but he did tell us what they were traveling before every maneuver. Scott is listening in Boston. Scott, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
But, yeah, Alex Cora and the Red Sox are making a run for it. Mm-hmm. And you know what's going to happen? They're probably going to get bounced in the first round, and he'll be the new coach out in Vegas.
All right, here's the thing. We don't have many rules on the show. We have a few rules on the show. You drop any type of inappropriate language on the show, you get dropped. And whatever it was that you were trying to say does not get through. I don't know how you can guarantee that Alex Cora, who's a manager, not a coach, is going to end up managing somewhere else next year. There's no way you can guarantee that. I know there are people who are frustrated with their teams always. And sometimes a radio show is an opportunity for you to vent. I'm fine with listening as long as you use appropriate language to express yourself. As for the Red Sox, I think Scott in Boston already looking ahead to the first round of the playoffs, which will be the wild card rounds. But the Red Sox they're making it more interesting in the American League East, right? So the way the Yankees are backpedaling, now you've got a surging Orioles team that is vying with the Guardians for best record in the American League. And the Orioles are actually on top now by 3 games in that East division. But the Red Sox are reeling in the Yankees, only 4.5 games back. Helps that they got the shutout on Sunday night. And the Yankees, meanwhile, have dropped 16 of 22. So for an Aaron Boone, feel like he's been in this situation before where he's got to figure out which buttons to push and maybe which lineup moves to make. The thing is about the Yankees, a lot of people believe that Aaron Boone, he takes instructions from on high, if you will. That it's not always his instructions. It's actually coming from the front office, maybe Brian Cashman, maybe even higher up than that. I don't know that he has autonomy. The Yankees, as I say, they've had a rough stretch of it. Aaron Judge is really the guy to watch. What they need is for other pieces around him to start to produce themselves. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, AutoTrader.